views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Hart Grant is brought to you by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Kelly's Home Center, Marco's Pizza, Rev Bahamas, and Ron's Electric Motors.
It's the foundation that's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, got in radio station 96, bright 9, 12 to 2 is the time. You can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
Foundation, it's the foundation. Foundation, so it's the foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, live and in full effect on this beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. And I keep telling you that I was in here a little early. I gotta tell you a little bit of my business today, right? Just a little taste of my business, because it's wild what's happening when you're out there in the city. Right? I told you my truck, right, was giving me some issues. So I always go down to Ron's to be able to deal with it. First Street, the Grove, go check him out. Ron's is my good guy. And he's always being able to assist me with that. So he's doing some stuff in there. Ron's, I think it's muffler and brakes. That's what he has, right? So Ron's muffler and brakes. I'll give you the numbers later. But he's always doing my stuff, always doing good stuff for me. And he does a great deal of the things for me as it relates to fixing my brakes and whatnot in my truck. So go down to Ron's, have to leave my truck there, right? And, you know, he sort of set up a ride. He says, Howard, this guy will give you a ride. So I get a ride. And I'm coming here to the studio mad early today. I read everything, right? Read everything just in preparation. And I was met with this sort of a conversation, even on the little small commute from here to there. And a lot of persons are impassioned. I think they have a passionate period that they existed. And coming here, oh, well, Mr. Grant, I did not know that you were the talk show host. So I said, okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's me. Well, do you know about the significance of the most important period in 1958? So I said, 1958 is 365 days. You need to let me know what we talk. Well, what I talk about is the general strike. So I said, okay, tell me about it. You know that the general strike led to the Quiet Revolution? I said, okay, give me your perspective on what you believe. It's not what I believe, it's what I know. I'm extremely impassioned position. And I always appreciate this. But I want to say this to you. I want to say this to all persons. I am a sponge for this thing. I'm eager to hear from you, but I needed to be at the octave of reception. Can I say that? Can I be as decent as possible to you and say that going up 5 octaves is not going to help me take this information in? If we're going to have a debate, because he started to talk about how the 1958 general strike led to the Quiet Revolution in the country, which abolished slavery, in a sense, which was bonkers to me. And then he started to talk about how this afforded opportunity and eradicated colonialism. I said, but all these things still exist. Oh, you are talking absolute rubbish, Howard. Okay. I guess we're not going to have a good conversation today. I got to be a reciprocity in these conversations. It got to be the opportunity to be able to give and take, that you hear what I say, that your word and this particular stance that you have, though you're born in this period, though you have a significant influence in this period, though this time in your mind may be that particular time period that says, I've had a significant influence based upon this time and dispensation, exposure, blah, 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 that you have to know that I was born in a different era. And if we're going to find a common ground, commonality for growth and development, that I could convey this, whatever your sentiments are, if I accept that and I'm able to convey that on the mic, you have to be able to deliver it in a particular manner. Rowan ain't going to help you. Amen? I can't get no amen. I wanted to give you a little taste of that because I feel like this is peppered throughout society now. It's kind of peppered. When you see, how are you ready to ask? It don't matter. My eyes could be red. I could be dead, sleepy. Well, yeah, but how would you do that? And you want to talk. I don't have a problem with this. But there has to be this sort of reciprocity. There has to be this two-way lean that you could hear me and I could hear you. I mean, in decency and order, I structure that. Because I do not agree with the gentleman, the good gentleman. I do not. I do not agree with this concept and idea. And I've said that to you. I do not agree with this concept and idea of quiet revolution. I do not. If that's the case, if you're dismissing the abolition of slavery in the 1800s. You're dismissing this entirely to go to 1958. This is wild. This is big wild. You're dismissing the concept and idea that existed with colonialism and rejecting the idea of neocolonialism that exists in this space and time. That there is blackface or playing whiteface. Talk to me. In the time and era and dispensation that we live right now. You're dismissing all of these particular things just to be able to fortify your point with the convictions that exist in your mind. Let's be as decent as possible when we're doing these things. Well, guys, it's a good day, man. I want you guys to be able to pick up your newspaper, the Nassau Guardian, Wednesday, June 14th. And you know that the 14th, and I see the lines already lit up. My God. The lines already lit up. I ain't even opened my mouth yet. Good. I just got to be able to give you the sort of... This is what I get in the city. You are wrong. You are a young man. When you say you were born, I say I was born in 81. It doesn't matter. Okay? I lived through this period. Okay? 81 for me. 8 years after the perceived entrance into the independence that we talk of, which is only self-governance, talk to me. In the wildest cocaine era that the country has seen. We ain't seen nothing like that. The introduction of 1981, December 1st, is the day that they identify World AIDS Day. Talk to me. This is heavy stuff. The world has changed drastically during this particular time. And my era can't see what your era is seeing. The only way we could do that is we have a decent conversation. You can't cuss me out and row me for because I don't see things the way you see it. Anyway, crime is down 30%, but rapes are up. This is wild. And I feel like, is there a conspiracy afoot? Is this in connection or attached to the concept and idea to reform certain aspects of things? Are we seeing this spike in one way or another? Because I don't believe that there is this quote-unquote rapes are up. But I believe that there is this sort of an idea that says, I will no longer keep quiet. That life has really empowered young women and men to the point where they no longer fear the sort of shame and ridicule that once associated with these sort of heinous crimes against the person. And they're now willing to stand up and be identified as a victim and say that this can happen no more. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to introduce you to my guest today. I know that I told you yesterday that I was supposed to have Garth. I apologize. It wasn't Garth today. So I'm so sorry about that. But I want to be able to introduce you to someone who has been a significant contributor. I want to call a talk show pundit. I know a lot of these persons continue to be able to call in, but I've always kind of inclined to her, her stance, her position. And, you know, the way that she's able to expand on certain aspects of conversations and topics that we actually put on the table. I've always enjoyed her, and she's followed me over the course of several stations. She's a decent woman. Praise God. She's a good, decent woman, right? We met several times. She called. We always kind of text each other and talk about these things. I want to introduce you to none other than Charlene. This is Miss J. She's a decent woman. I want to say that she is a connoisseur of sorts, educator who's continued to be able to kind of pour into the next generation of Bahamians with not just this relentless regurgitation of information, but sort of the spark that actually lights the fuse for critical thinking in our country. And I'm grateful for that. Charlene, where we go? Charlene, or you want to go with Miss Jake? Tell me what you want to do today, right? We want to be decent as possible. Say good afternoon to the Bahamian people out there.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy to be here, Howard. I'm so glad you extended this invitation to me. It's probably my first time being here with you, and it's a pleasure. I look forward to
it. In person, because you called.
Yes, okay, I've called in many, many times.
Yes.
Always have some contribution to make to the many amazing topics and conversations that we should be having as a nation, as a Bahamian people. So it's a pleasure to be here today and to share my opinion, to share my thoughts and feelings, and hopefully it contributes in a positive way. And like you said earlier, we can have decent and open conversations.
I think that reciprocity is sort of the main ingredient that can lead to growth and development, that can lead to a very clear understanding of and sort of close the gulf that exists between the two generations.
Because
There's a gulf that exists there in terms of understanding, in terms of technology, in terms of communication, in terms of all these things. There's a gulf that ever expands.
Yeah.
And every time they name, whether it's the boomer generation, Generation X, the millenniums, the gulf is ever expanding. Because it's not like the boomers are dying.
Right.
All of us are dying, but it's not like the boomers have been eradicated entirely, that they're not here anymore. They're still here. They're still functioning. They're still going to work. They're still going to the banks. They need to be a part of this. And the young generations need to understand the tradition that's in this country. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to kind of put that out there. So tell me about some of the things that's your passions, man. I mean, because you've been, I don't know, any topic we put out, you've always been able to talk about it and always been able to give me a unique perspective on these particular things. Over the past few days, we've been talking about, and people tell me, Howard, let this thing go. You don't need to talk about the legacy for the prime minister anymore. We don't need to talk about these things. Today, I listened to Aaron and CA talk about how this administration has strategically and specifically identified concepts and ideas to be able to eradicate or make modifications for the purposes of being able to strengthen their position within the media. I thought this thing was crazy. I thought it was wild. I thought it was wild what they were saying. I wanted to kind of get into the studio, but you know, I wouldn't do that, right? I wanted to get in there and contribute to the conversation because is this another tool in the war chest to election 2026. Is this another tool to ensure that the status quo remains in this kind of confined position, as opposed to being able to see the liberty opportunity of the community being able to come and contribute to growth and development of the country? Talk to me about it.
That's an interesting take on it. Whether or not it's another tool would be, I think it might be a bit of a speculation there, or it might even be a bit of pattern. Right? We know that they certainly want to secure their legacy as an administration. They also, at the same time, do have an agenda in terms of how do we push the nation forward? Because obviously, you know, the Bahamian people are going to want to ask the questions of what have you done? What are you preparing for? How are you going to secure the nation for, quote unquote, the next generation? And if they don't have strategic plans in place for, like, let's say the next 50 years, because we're at this milestone where we're excited and we're thrilled to celebrate 50 years of growth and national interest and all of these other things. But I absolutely wouldn't disagree that this could be a bit of a, how do you say this? More than just a tool, but a strategic, intentional plan that has to be fortified. It has to be in place. Otherwise, what do you have to present to the community at large? Because they should have questions as to where are we headed? Where are we going? How do we fortify ourselves? Because right now, are we seeing some things that are kind of out of place or a bit shaky? And it's not a one-man show. We have to be very careful that we're not always saying, oh, it's the prime minister or the deputy or whomever. It's an administration. So this is a team governance. It's a team effort. And so all the hands are in the pot, so to speak. And so they all have a role to play. They all have a part to play. And I would almost say if they're not dancing in sync, if they're not moving in sync, then something is going to be out of whack. There's going to be a kink in the chain, so to speak. And so is it strategic? I absolutely think they have to make it that way. Otherwise, how do you guarantee another victory? How do you have that confidence that, okay, we're safe for the next round? There's no way you can go in this blindly. There's no way you can go in this sort of just pandering. You have to know exactly point A to point Z. Otherwise, you're looking for trouble and you're looking to have some problems or turbulence down the road. That's the way I look at it.
I like what you're saying because just to be able to dive into a few things we'll be talking about today. I made a call to the office of the Prime Minister this morning, just for clarity, because it was kind of murky for me over the past 2 days with the transition of Clint Watson moving to the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas, to ZNS as general manager. And I didn't know whether or not he would retain his position, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, things like this happen. Talk to me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I didn't know whether or not he would retain his position. The story, make sure you pick up the newspaper today on the second page. You can be able to see it right there. It says, Office of the Prime Minister, Press Secretary Clint Watson will step down from that role to become the general manager of the Broadcasting Corporation. So I just made a call, all right? Just for clarity, I said, will he remain in this position? Will you have him being able to execute? They said, no, Howard. There will be, and you will know by tomorrow. This is what the decency. You will know by tomorrow who the lady, watch me, the lady will be to take on this role and responsibility. She will be Madam Secretary, right? So I said, okay, well, answer me this. Is she youthful and eager, or is she seasoned and strategic, right? Mm. This is me. This is, you know, I just got to find out. This is, I got to kind of chop it down, right? So the information says, Howard, she's a veteran in this thing. I said, hold on. Wait. So she's a veteran. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's a vet. I said, okay, hold on now. Now, I know a couple vets. Is she vet as it relates to journalism? Howard, let's just say that she's going to be Madam Secretary. I said, no.
Oh, my.
You ain't giving me enough information. Howard, you will find out tomorrow. My point is that ZNS has actually been speaking for, I want to say, almost a decade now about transitioning to this position as the Public Broadcasting Corporation, Public Broadcasting Network, that affords an opportunity for neutrality, that affords an opportunity for others to be able to contribute, that is not state-led, that is not run out of the office of the Prime Minister. This is what ZNS has been saying that they want to be able to move towards. But the nature has been, their wording, I suppose, just like governments, their wording and their articulations of what needs to happen, this beautiful future that they speak of, goes contrary to the steps that they take every single day. Talk to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if Clint Watson is moving from his capacity as press secretary for the office of the Prime Minister under this particular administration, then who says that he doesn't take that spirit, concept, and idea to ZNS? Though, Clint is my guy. He's my guy. Though, and if you read the the release from the Office of the Prime Minister, it starts to talk about how he opened up, says his many initiatives has transformed the way that the government communicates with the media and the administration and the most transparent, to be the most transparent in Bahamian history. This is wild. This is all wild. It is all politics, right? Because the framework for that was formed under the former administration for the Free National Movement. Ace Nubo was the person who's responsible for being able to create this particular framework. Now, given the fact that Ace Newbold did not execute the way that there was an expectation, because we always kind of compare these things.
Yeah.
We compare it, right? Yeah. So we look at the press secretary of the United States of America. We look around the world in terms of their articulation, in terms of their poise, their stance, their consistency, so forth and so on. We expected this from Ace Newbold. It didn't happen. Clint gave us sort of a richer concept and idea of what this particular thing could be. But the idea that I have, the question that I have to you and the guys, the lines are wide open today, ladies and gentlemen. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of violence, 242-300-5720, or you can hit me up on the text 422-4796. We can be able to do those things and be able to chop it down. But I want to say this. I want to say this today, all right? The question that I have for you is that, can there be any expectation with Clint now bowing out from this pronounced political position and taking on this posture, or taking on this role, rather, over at Zenness? Can there be any expectation for reformation and change within Zenness that goes contrary to the nature of that confined space of politics as another arm for the government? Can there be an expectation at the top of the hill for a change in Zedness? The lines are wide open. The text lines are wide open. I want you guys to be able to be a part of that. Let me take my first commercial break. I'm here with Miss J, Charlene. She's going to be able to chop down some things today. We're going to get into all manner of stuff. Be a part of it. Quick commercial break. Be right back after this. Foundation.
This is the Nagico Insurance Tip of the Day. Today's tip: know your insurance representative. Is your insurance representative on your side? How do you know? Insurance representatives are either agents or brokers. Agents work in the interests of the insurance company, while brokers are representatives of the client. But here in the Bahamas, some brokers are actually tied to specific insurance companies, thereby blurring the lines between agency and brokerage. This is why you should know your insurance representative. Are they truly independent or tied to an insurer? Do they offer various options from various insurers or explain key policy conditions? Because your insurance representative is your guide through the complex world of insurance. Today's Nagico Insurance Tip of the Day: know your insurance representative.
To the world, he is your dad, but to you, he is the world. Shower your dad with love with a gift from Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day Sale, Friday, June 9th through Saturday, June 17th. Save 20% off selected tool sets, luggage, and fishing, diving, and camping gear, except on net items. Shop at Kelly's House and Home on Saturday, June 8th, and if you are standing on the lucky spot, you could win a gift basket for dad. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Shop Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day Sale, June 9th through 17th. Happy Father's Day from Kelly's House and Home.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic, and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
At Marco's Pizza, we never skip on quality or ingredients. Save some cash and satisfy your cravings with our new carry-out medium two-topping pizza for only $12.50. That's right, order two of your favorite toppings like sausage and green peppers on one medium pizza for only $12.50.
Fat inclusive.
On our app or online. Made daily with fresh dough, our signature sauce, and fresh cheese. Only at Marco's Pizza. Restrictions apply.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. It's so wonderful to be in your company. I want to thank you so very kindly. Listen, before we go any further, I want to be able to give a shout out to Brown's Mobile Auto, right? He's a good neighbor of mine. He coming to deal with my truck tomorrow. Y'all just talk to me too bad. Somebody walk on the side of my truck and say, swash me. They ain't even spell the thing right. I figure I knew what they were talking about, right? Why a little children writing on my truck? It's too much. Y'all need to stop it. I'm going to get it washed tomorrow. Browns is going to be able to come down and then take care of it. He tell me to get his pressure cleaning machine. He's going to be here bright and early to be able to deal with that. So we're going to give him a call. He says his number. Howard, tell everybody now. My number is 456-2017. I haven't even called him today or tomorrow. But at least let me tell you how the truck look. Talk to me. Because, you know, this fellas is leaving a little smudgy. Tell me, man, how it was dark. Y'all need to stop it. Tomorrow we're going to be able to deal with that. 456-2017. 456-2017. You can see if we can make it happen. Guys, please give me a call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up, 422-4796. We're just talking today with Charlene, Ms. J. She's really being able to talk about some things, and I like how she talked about secure the nation. I like how she actually, I wrote that down when she talked about in her monologue and the opening speech that she gave, she says secure the nation. And I wanted to ask her about being able to tie this into education, whether or not this administration is doing what it needs to be doing, whether or not this administration is moving in the direction that they should as it relates to the anchor for reformation, change, and growth in this country through the lens of education. I want to know that. But before I do that, Charlie, before I get into that, the lines are lit right up. Let's see what they got to say. Calling on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Mr. Grant.
Good morning, my brother. How you doing?
Wonderful, man. Listen, I hear you talking about Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Watson.
Mm-hmm.
If Clint Watson stand in front of me right now, I don't know him.
No, man, you can't say that.
I'm telling you, never seen him in person.
You don't watch TV then?
That's what I'm saying. I never seen him.
Oh, in person. Okay, go ahead.
Person in flesh.
Yeah.
But I believe
mm-hmm.
when he goes to ZNS,
mm-hmm.
there'll be a whole new changes. I believe the same way he was critical during in his time with Eyewitness News, he will be the same person.
I feel like that's absolutely impossible.
He will do it.
No. I feel like that may be his intention, his desire, his heart. But I feel like the nature and the machine, because the machine existed before the individual. I feel like the machine will not allow him the opportunity to do that.
But if he don't do it, he will be just like the rest of those who was there that didn't do it. Because knowing Mr. Watson, he's a straight shooter.
Okay.
And he will bring ZNS News up to par that everyone will run home to watch Sandnes News. Like how they run home to watch.
You are something else. I like you. I feel like you should.
Station.
I feel like you should call Clint.
You got to give him a chance and to see what he's going to do. Because I believe that he's going to bring Sandnes News a new program and different things and stuff like that.
Oh, man, you're a good man.
He's a straight shooter, and he better call it just as it is. And if he don't call it like it is, then people will look at him as a failure. And if I were you, I would get in contact with him.
I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you. You are something else. My brother, I appreciate you.
I believe you could go someplace with him.
My God, you're going heavy. Go ahead in the air.
Get ready, my brother.
I must get ready.
This train is moving.
You got your prophetic cold call or something there. You need to stop it.
I am telling you.
All right, I can fight
get
you.
Get ready to move, Brother Harvard.
Go move where? Dwight listening to you. No, Dwight, I ain't getting over.
Listen to Dwight. Man, listen. You could be next in the move.
My brother, he's a decent man.
Mr. Watson will bring a whole new fresh.
I like you.
Breath.
Listen.
The same way how he bring on Eyewitness News. See, now, look at this. If you watch Eyewitness News from Mr. Clint Watson was there, there ain't nothing new. Everything is still lies the same. Now, he know everything is still the same. So what he will do then is bring something new.
I like you. That's a good man.
Everybody now.
If Clint don't give you a job, call me. 827-0111. I got a place on my... I need a PR person. He's a good, decent man, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call. Let me see if I get the next telephone caller on the line. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Howard.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. And praise good morning God. To you, Ms. Charlene J.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. You know, Mr. Grant, we was talking about this morning on Dwight's show and then Aaron Green's show. You know, and I like to put my two cents in.
I like it. Let me hear it.
I like the way the gentleman is talking because he is optimistic. That
his optimism is crazy.
You know what I'm saying? You worked there.
It's wild. Because I can tell you some stories.
You went there with that same mindset.
Hold on. Before you go anywhere, I just want to let you know, Dwight come in here, peek at me. He just...
Dwight, yes, we love him.
Dwight, come in here, peek at me.
You're not
how
going anywhere. I would not advise you to go anywhere.
No, I ain't getting over.
You know, you God have a moment. Platform in front of you now where you can speak negative, positive
yes,
about
ma'am.
Each or any... And there's a backlash.
I couldn't do that to Zednes. I couldn't do that on top of the hill. Amen?
No.
Oh, praise God.
You know, okay, it's like a new government worker comes in with the mindset, like the MPs. They go in and all these changes that they're going to do and how they're going to make their community better. And the minute they get in there and after walking and talking about a few people who have been there, done that, they sit down and follow the same trend as everybody else. Now, I believe, when I called this morning, I do not dismiss the fact that Clint has the ability to do good there. But because he is so politically connected to the government of today, it's near impossible for him to step out of line. He has to follow a trend or he will be out on his proverbial tail.
Because the whip is on.
Yes.
The whip
so
is on.
They are looking for him. See, he was a major power player in them winning the last election. So they are strategically placing him now to reach even more people because he reached less people with Eyewitness News. He can now reach more.
All of the Bahamas.
Goes around the entire country.
You are something
to
else.
Follow their agenda.
I see what you did
now,
there.
Yes, he can do it. I would like to wait and see him do it, but either which way is still not right for me because he is too politically connected to be placed in a government position of such, with such influence.
My God. I appreciate
you know, but I'd like to see him do different. However, I have no expectation. Like Aaron tell the person this morning, call me back in 3 months and then we can rediscuss this and see what new come up.
No. In his executive capacity, you need 6 months to make the proper evaluation. 3 months is for
just a regular employee. We make a determination whether or not you could follow the course of what was there before. In his executive capacity, we need to know his leadership skills. We need to know exactly. 6 months. You got to give him 6 months. 6 months.
Okay, we'll give him 6 months.
Let's give him 6 months.
Or even December, give him a year.
Let's give him December. A year.
You know, because some things he have to set, and then, you know, he have to work with people to get things to work
his way if he so chooses. Right.
But I feel like he's going to follow suit like everybody else. I'm so sorry to say it like that, but it's been how long then? It's been been around now?
50-something years, I think.
Almost. And it's been like that since then.
Mm-hmm.
It's a political machine.
Mm-hmm. My God. I appreciate your telephone call, my dear. Thank you so very kindly. Charlene, talk to me about this.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the paper made an interesting remark here. It says, the reason for Watson's move was not revealed. Right? And so a little bit of what the gentleman said earlier, and even what this lady is saying, it's strategic. And I don't know if I'm going to follow that same train of thought, but you would have to say, why wasn't there some mention as to why this move was necessary? Is it something that he himself wanted, or is this something that they felt that was necessary? Nothing is ever done willy-nilly. Nothing, especially in the political realm. And so, yeah, it's a much bigger audience. It's a much greater impact. He is one person, though. I think we have to remember that. And he's going to be responsible, as you mentioned, for an entire machine. And so there should be some expectation of different things happening. If you expect the same old, then what's the reason behind the change? What's the reason behind the greater impact or a greater audience?
A great deal of us who have done any level of media to get the exposure, to get sort of the traditional training to be able to get yourself known, if you're recognized, you're afforded an opportunity to be able to work with ZNS. I myself was given that opportunity. In the introduction of getting there under the former administration, and I want to say that it didn't make a difference, but it did in the end, and I didn't know it did. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of persons view me in the lens of a political person for FNM or the DNA, whatever. But when I pitched ZNS, because I did that, I had to pitch ZNS.
Mm-hmm.
I pitched them a concept, an idea, what I wanted to do, tell them the direction, blah, 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 blah. And after I gave them this particular thing, and I said, listen, I don't think I want to take this job if you're going to muzzle me. I said that. Mm-hmm. Before I touch any contract, I said, I don't want to be muzzled. I said, I think it's an important thing that we enlighten and involve the entire diaspora, because ZNS reaches more than just the Family Islands. People was calling me from Texas. People was calling me from Jamaica. I'm telling you. People was calling me from all over the place, right? I didn't even know people. Howard, I'm listening to you from North Carolina, right? Mm-hmm. Now, my point to you is that I thought in going in there, and this is sort of the conversation, that ZNS has a responsibility, especially under this sort of an agenda for the former administration that wanted to kind of be able to bring this public broadcasting concept to the public. This is one of the things that you need. You need this transparency, you need an open conversation, you need contribution, you need all these particular things, right? As soon, they say, no, Howard, no, sign up for the contract, boom, 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 okay. As soon as I brought I interview, and the cabinet minister called you to tell you right now, I interview half the cabinet, if not all, of the former administration. I interview almost all of the members of parliament, save one or two. I really didn't want to talk to, not in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
I just was not interested. Save all of these particular things. As soon as I brought Michael Halkidis on, the day that I brought Michael Halkidis on the radio, ZNS called me, the office called me. Now, I say this before, and I just have to be extremely decent with this. His general manager capacity means absolute squash. It means nothing. Not in a bad way. Not to him in his particular capacity. But the leadership and rulership doesn't come from that office. Neither does it come from the office of the prime minister. Unless this administration decides to change that. I got a call that says, Howard, don't bring on no politicians. Y'all heard me say this before. I say, hold on. So you said to me, don't bring on Adrian Gibson on Monday. No, bring Adrian Gibson. This is what the conversation was. No, bring Adrian Gibson. I said, okay, so you want me to bring in Glennis Hannah on Thursday? Howard, watch yourself. I said, so you're saying don't bring no PLP? No, no, Howard, we ain't saying that. Listen, you know I shoot straight.
You have to.
I said to shoot straight, right? So I said, you don't bring no PLP. No, no, Howard, we ain't saying that. I said, well, what are you saying? Howard, I get directives. I said, so who gave you this directive? So I made calls because I know some things and some people. Come to find out, there was a call that was made from Wendy's in Grand Bahama. Watch me. These are the political gateways in the country. There's a call that was made strategically from, they don't even know that I know this. And Howard can say it on the radio. My point to you is that you don't have the autonomy in these particular capacities outside of the superficial name at the forefront of your thing. To say that I'm the general manager, I'm the this, I'm the that, and these capacities, and you sit and hold the line, but don't have the autonomy to make the decisions for real change and growth in an organization as old. The machine that is Zedness. So I want to be able to say to you that I wish Clint Watson all the absolute, I wish him well. I really do. I really do. But I don't know whether or not that's going to happen. Let's take this last telephone call before we can go to break. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Caller, that's you.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Pleasant. Good afternoon. Good to hear you.
I'm ready, Sparky.
Hey, how are those everything?
All is well.
You know, me using the word ZNS. Now, are we talking about ZNS radio or ZNS TV?
Hello? ZNS radio and TV are conjoined.
Yeah, because, you know, ZNS TV seems to be different because everything is sent to me on Channel 211. Now, we used to call it ZNS Channel 13, but anyway, it's Channel 211 now because everything comes through cable. But, you know, I see very little change could happen, like you said, Howard, because of the nature of the animal called ZNS. It was used by the Right Honorable Oscar Pendling as a propaganda station, mm-hmm. to guide, to steer the PLP. And all prime ministers after that used it for the same reason. I can't see it changing because the same thing you said, the directors and stuff that he's going to get, he's going to have to either follow that or he's going to be gone too. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What I have a problem with, the changing ZNS is that after all these years, from 1977, when the Queen came here and opened Channel 13,
mm-hmm.
and we're moving forward to congratulate the country for 50 years of independence.
Mm-hmm.
When I look on a Sunday morning, whether it's religious day, Saturday or Sunday, and I'm seeing Charlton Heston and all of these old people were dead and so forth, every Sunday, either Moses, Jesus, this one, there's some religious story coming on. Old things from Nassau Theater was on Elizabeth Avenue. There's Billy Graham, who dead and gone with me 50 years ago. Why are we still doing this in 2023? And no matter who comes to ZNS, the same things repeat itself over and over and over.
Because ZNS bigger than any one man.
The same old movies, the same old thing. I mean, 46 years later, I know 1977 was the year my daughter was born.
You know Roots back and forward right now. You
it's
know
the same
roots.
Thing over and over, no matter who go in there.
Back and forward.
The same chairmans go in. It's the same chairmans go in, the same directors. I don't know why they keep doing the same thing over and over. The man say, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, you expect to get different results.
Sparky.
That was Einstein, right? Wasn't that the inventor Einstein? So if you keep doing the same
Einstein.
Thing over and over.
Einstein.
How much years ago that was when he said that?
Well, that's the definition of insanity. If you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
And all we do is have a big party to welcome this chairman in, to welcome this new general manager in, then all of a sudden we see when he gone. And then there's a big party when he's leaving and all the staff
manager, hold on long. She hold on through two or three different administrations. She did well in terms of being in the hurricane. She was like that one coconut tree.
But you know what I see going? And I pray for our new prime minister right now because I know in the year 2023, This is a difficult time in the world, in the world entirety. Things have changed so rapidly in my lifetime in the last couple of years since Dorian and since the pandemic. That it's like the world just switched on a different light overnight while I was sleeping.
Wow.
Sparky. And then, and Howard, on top of that, the situation, the new
I got to go to a break, Sparky. So I don't know if you called back, but I got to go to a break. Let me take a quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, forgive me for that. I got to go to a break. Let me take this commercial break. I'm sitting here with none other than Miss Jay Charlene. She's in here being able to chop these things down. When we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this concept and idea of being able to give this quarterly information about the fact that crime is down. Talk to me. Crime is down by 30%, but rapes are up. This is wild. Big wild. Is crime really down? Huh? Let's get to that. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company with the foundation. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Marco's Pizza, we never skip on quality or ingredients. Save some cash and satisfy your cravings with our new carry-out medium two-topping pizza for only $12.50. That's right. Order two of your favorite toppings like sausage and green peppers on one medium pizza for only $12.50. Fat inclusive on our app or online. Made daily with fresh dough, our signature sauce, and fresh cheese. Only at Marco's Pizza. Restrictions apply.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Oh, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company right here on the Foundation, being able to chop it down, just talking about some stuff that's leading in the news and leading out there. Though we're on the second page, I think it's important that we have these kind of conversations. I don't know. I mean, for me, it's interesting. I don't know how it is for you. I know that you've been talking about it for the majority of the morning, and I know you want to be able to kind of get into it. There's a lot in the paper that I want to be able to get into. But before we transition into anything else, Charlene, I want to talk to you about that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, we're sitting with none other than Charlene Miss Jay, who's here with us and being able to talk to us from her particular capacity
and the peripheral view of education. She's an educator in the country. She's been able to really touch lives. And like I said, I don't think that she's one that actually deals with this regurgitation and repetition within the education system, but being able to lead with critical thinking, being able to lead with those sort of ideas that can be able to transform the mind and spirit of the next dispensation for leadership in the country. I want to do that. I want to talk to you about that. And I want to talk to you about, because I asked you a question about securing the nation through education. Do you believe that this administration has done its duty, its portion, what's necessary to be able to not only throw money at it? Because if you remember, the first time we saw a doubling, it was a boasting in the House of Assembly under Jerome Fitzgerald, who was the then Minister of Education, that spoke about the fact that we have doubled the budget for education, right? Mm-hmm. But we didn't feel the effect thereof, right? It's almost like throwing money in a bucket with a hole in it, that no matter how much you put, you can't feel the effect thereof. And so whilst he continued to be able to double the budget for education, I want to talk more specifically and strategically to the curriculum. Do you believe that this administration is doing, we're not talking about the others, we're not talking about the people's time, we're not talking about a new day, fresh wind, we're not talking about we believe in Bahamians, we're not talking about, Jesus, we could go on for days, right? Better, we're talking about better.
Slogans are numerous.
Right? That's what it is. Mm-hmm. We're talking about better government, we're talking about the sunshine, we're talking about new day. Do you believe that new day administration is doing what they need to strategically, what they should, as it relates to being able to strategically fortify education for the next dispensation, the new day administration for the Bahamians going forward? Talk to me about it.
Okay. I like this question, Howard, on two fronts. One, we're talking about the present moment because we have to focus on the present. Certainly we learn from the past and look at things that worked and didn't work and sort of go from there, but the present moment really is key. I like that question on that front. The second one that I like it on is that of not just, like you said, throwing money at the problem. So I think it was a good move when the ministry had a change or an addition to the name, right? We know now it's not simply called the Ministry of Education, but it's Ministry of Education and Vocational Training. And I think that's an important differentiation to make in that we know when we look at education of itself, and it's a vast topic, we certainly can't cover everything because we like to just use this umbrella approach and just say education, but it is huge. It's a mammoth task. Mm-hmm. It is no small task to inject change into curriculum from, let's even say, from preschool, kindergarten, primary school, junior high school, vocational school, and even university. So there's so many different levels to how we approach this. But if I were to take a stab for a moment, and let's just look at it from a technical and vocational standpoint, and we know right now a school such as a technical school such as BTVI, it offers so many trades that a lot of our young people, older or anybody else, can pivot into. The curriculum certainly is something to always consider. How do we really prepare the next generation of Bahamians, residents, or anybody else for that world where they feel that they are indeed a contributing member of society? And so there's a lot of conversations that need to be had. We need to have people at the table that have really done the homework, that have really done the research, that have looked at the studies, that have put forth the effort. We can't just say, hey, let's allocate this amount of money for this. Let's allocate this for this. And we don't necessarily have some sort of plan in place. Or we may have a plan, but we don't really know how that plan's going to work. And so I read a book years ago. It's by Simon Sinek, and it's called Start With Why. And so I think that's partly where the conversation should begin. Let's start with, why do we want education to be at the forefront or the center stage of everything that really needs to happen in terms of change in our Bahamaland? Well, we can simply add a response in that if education falters,
if education falls or if it lags in any way, well, this is why we're reading what we're reading in the Nassau Guardian today. This is one of the unfortunate consequences, in that a lot of people do not understand that you cannot just go around committing these crimes and expect to just get a slap on the hand. Partly, it has to do with they were either lost somewhere in the gap, or they just weren't catered to. There's so many factors at play. But education...
You're talking about the rape?
Yes.
Okay,
the rapes that are up. Mm-hmm. But going back to your question, sure, we can certainly come up with funds to look at how we can improve our curriculum. But there are many, many, many conversations that need to be had. It could take a long time. It's not going to be done within just one administration or another. And I think we need to somehow get away from that idea of it being an administration's job to do, per se. Of course, the one that is at the helm right now should take the bull by the horn and say, what sort of impact can we make now? And then create that plan for the other one to continue and continue. And then we can see how this really plays out on the grand scale. But to simply say, oh, we're going to do this within our term or within our administration, I think it's sort of just sort of like putting lipstick on the pig and think it can look beautiful, but it's a lot of work.
It's still a pig.
And it's going to take a lot of effort from everybody. Really from the very top to the middleman to the lower to the unskilled worker. It's just huge. And when we look at other Caribbean countries, I'm not even going to venture into the world because that's an ocean of uncertainty at times. But when we look at the Caribbean itself, when we look at maybe other ways that they themselves approach education, maybe there are things from that we can pull out. Maybe there are things from them that we can learn.
Yeah.
We know of other places that have used different models. I'm not saying that we're going to mirror what they've done. I'm not saying that we're just going to simply copycat it. But maybe we need to start having a grander conversation in that what has not worked.
Maybe that's what CARICOM should be for. Talk to me.
Hey.
Instead of sitting down and having a conversation about what needs to happen in Haiti. However, let's make it a Haitian-led solution. I'm totally confused. I don't understand. Why are we talking about this?
That is a conversation of... Let's say this, and we're going to do this, but we don't really know what the focus is. If it's a Haitian-led problem, and you've said specifically that Haitians need to be able to be the one to solve it, certainly we can offer our contribution, but let's let that be something that they then take, go ahead and say, okay.
But so CARICOM should take on initiatives like this. CARICOM should take on initiatives that deals with and move towards this sort of an aggressive approach to be able to rectify the issues as it relates to gun smuggling. Right? As it relates to drugs, as it relates to lack of education, exposure, as it relates to lack of jobs and opportunities, as it relates to fortifying the economy of our environment, as opposed to being able to identify one of its members, one of its members that is having tribulation in their communities. Now, I ain't fighting that, but I want to ask you this. I want to ask you this because you said something that popped out to me. You said as a lack of education has placed a great deal of persons in the position, in so many words, that has led to the problems that we're seeing in the paper, where rapes are up. Crime is down, but rapes are up. Now, I want to ask you this, on the flip side of that, do you believe that there is sort of this burst and glimmers of hope and idea as it relates to the fact that education is leading people to go to the station and make these reports now? That exposure and education and access and understanding that you're not in a vacuum, that this didn't happen to you alone, that you can actually go out and stand up and speak on your behalf and say that this is the issue. Because one time ago, this was always happening.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say that? Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are wide open. Be a part of the conversation. From I was a child, little boy, I knew that there was significant issues of rape, and especially as I grew and heard the stories, especially after we matured, became adults, and you had friends, families, and people that you were familiar with tell you that this one has done this to me. Yeah, you hear these stories after people die. This one has done that to me. this one daddy may be his uncle and all these things like that. This is what you hear in our communities, right? I come from Eight Mile Rock High School. Eight Mile Rock High School is about a half a mile in the bush. I keep telling people I was there the other day, right? Half a mile in the bush off Queens Highway. So we're a good distance off. Mm-hmm. We're 30 miles away from the city and half a mile in the bush in the community. Now, let's be very clear about this. After kids got pregnant, young girls got pregnant in schools, some of them went to Peace, right? These bold ones who had the support of their family. And some still went to the family violence, right? And when they came back home as mothers, whoever would take the kid and send their children to Eight Mile Rock High School. So in the middle of the term, when we saw you, we knew as a young girl, mm-hmm. we knew that you was a mother. Mm-hmm. We knew that. Our school accepted the quote-unquote rejects, and we don't consider them rejects. They're friends, and they've really become family in many instances because we know them, and we share like this. But you're sent to Eight Mile Rock so no one could see you. You're sent to Eight Mile Rock and your parents can't pay your school fee, and you ain't want nobody to know that you're falling on economic hard times. This is just what it is. You understand? Okay. But as a result of that, a lot of persons would tell us these stories about, you know, my uncle touched me, this friend, the family, so forth and so on. But they've never reported these incidents. Like, they would tell mommy and mommy say, well, child, you just got to let it go. Has education given us this sort of a burst to say, I'm empowered. I'm going to take this. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be able to stand up on my behalf and on the behalf of the next generation and the young girl who's afraid to speak and stand out and make these things happen. Talk to me about it.
Yeah. I absolutely feel that way, especially being an educator myself. I think education has certainly created that foundation. It has created that foundation where they feel like these topics are discussed in various spaces where they feel like they have a safe environment,
yeah.
whether that is verbally, orally, or written, where they can express, hey, here's what happened. And I've had, unfortunately, some instances where I've read of stories where these things have happened. And certainly in a family of violence, and you're sitting there going,
I can't believe this. I didn't even know this indecency exists here.
Right?
But we all human beings.
Because it does, and it's unfortunate, it's sad, but like you said, we've kept it under wraps for so long. Because we've sort of played into the bohemian psyche of this happens. We kind of shrug it off and say, but listen, you didn't die.
The boy's sick.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you gotta let it go. Junior, you know, Junior have a problem. Don't go around Junior, baby. Watch out. That's what mama let me tell you this. But watch out, baby, don't go around Junior. Watch out. Don't stay in the house by yourself for Junior.
We make excuses for Junior.
Nobody called the police on Junior yet.
No.
He like a whole beast in his singlet. Let's just be very clear about these things. But time and the evolution of time, no one taking this foolishness no more.
No. And it's powerful, and I love it, because women are finally able to stand up.
Yeah.
Now, we still, and I'm not creating an accusation, so nobody come for me. We still, because I know of two specific incidences where you still might go to law enforcement, and they still might kind of give you the skeptic look or the skeptic tone of voice and say, well, did you do anything or whatever.
It's your fault.
Right, because one of the stories in the paper, the story today mentioned a 17-year-old who was out here looking for a ride and she got into the car with a gentleman. Now, I would hope in 2023 that we would have educated our young women that is just, hello, have you lost your mind?
I can't even breathe.
Right?
Because I read the story.
Yeah, and the story said she was then forced into this gentleman's home. Like,
hold on. I won't be decent.
Okay.
I get me close my eyes and just say it like this. In the spirit of decency and how we ingest stories and we understand the nature of our communities, the story said that she was on Robinson Road, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was walking home. She got in the vehicle. The man take her to his house.
Right.
As a 17-year-old girl. There's a couple of things that's happening here simultaneously for me.
Mm-hmm.
One, what you doing picking up young girls?
Right.
You need to stop, sir. Two, what you doing getting in this man's car? You need to stop, ma'am. Two, if there was any intent or desire for anything untowards, why take her to your house? This is peculiar. I ain't getting into the deep story. I can leave that up to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I know they're going to be able to investigate this accordingly, and it's all going to be able to come out in the wash. And so we're looking for these particular informations to report and say that this is where it is. But we say to you, and the story actually indicated the same thing, don't take no ride from strangers. In 2023, we shouldn't have to tell you that no more. But, you know, to reiterate to those persons who may not have heard, who parents do not fortify this in your mind, who lack the education, maybe you in special class, do not take ride from strangers. I don't even give strangers ride in my car. This fella stopped me the other day. I drive in my truck. He listen, it was raining. He said, hey, throw the thumb up. But he had a bike on his back. Sir, I don't know what your bike.
Exactly.
You ain't gonna chop me up or no.
Mm-hmm. We just have to rob me.
We have to be careful with all our steps in our society. Let me see if I can take a telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line with us live. Turn your radio down for me, please.
Hello, Howard.
Hey. Spark
don't
again.
Don't mean to call back, but it's, you know, something of importance when I hear you talk about these kids. Now, Howard, the other day, I think we need to be careful. Mm-hmm. The other day, I was reliably informed by a well-renowned doctor. You remember that thing that is called heroin? That used to be, people used to inject with a needle into their arm? I was informed by a well-renowned doctor that there's been word that there's a new chemical coming out. It's like a candy, and they are in fear that it might be entering the Bahamas soon. I think we should advise our children to be on the alert of people offering them things like candies and potato chips, anything. Be very, very careful what you take it from strangers. I was informed, Howard, that this new drug is 50% more powerful than heroin. Mm. You know what that means if that hits the streets of this country?
Zombies.
You think marijuana was something and cocaine was something. You ever see what heroin is doing to people?
My God.
You could imagine a child being offered a candy in school laced with something like that. We must be careful with our children, our teachers, our adults, to please train these children about receiving things from strangers. And sometimes these strangers could be a friend of yours to say, let's try this. Be careful, Bahamians. Be careful.
Thank you, Sparky. I don't know how a stranger could be a friend. It's confusing, but I understand where you're coming from. You got to know. And it's sad that we got to be able to fortify these conversations again.
The reason, Howard, for me this story is really concerning is because we think of how we are such a great, amazing country for visitors. And I don't want to incite any sort of unnecessary fear or anything of that sort, but we have to also ask the question, when these monsters are on the streets, because we have to remember, we have Airbnbs that are scattered throughout the entire archipelago. And so the other day I was in an area, let's just call it over the hill, and I saw this couple, right? Clearly I can see that they were probably staying somewhere nearby in an Airbnb. And so we want to make sure that they too are safe. I'm sure
they... We got to get somebody to police these Airbnb. I just, on a side note, I just want to say that.
Yeah.
I'm in Grand Bahama the other day. And my mother, we talking, right? And my mother said, you know, so-and-so has an Airbnb. So I say, what you mean? They got a clapboard house that they continue to be able to add things on. We know these people for years. We know these people, right? They live in an area that we call Pampa City. In Grand Bahama. I'm just trying to be as decent as possible. So my mother said, you know that this person has an Airbnb. So I said, Mommy, stop lying. Right? She said, I swear. So I said, Mommy, stop lying. Right? She said, the people got an Airbnb. Everybody shouldn't have an Airbnb.
No.
You can't put an Airbnb in certain areas. No. I'm like, you see, I, I am all for the entrepreneur. I'm all for the other arm of income. I am all for these particular things. But if your environment is not conducive to being able to introduce tourists to the sort of an idea of what the Bahamas, the paradise, if you're going to strip the idea of paradise from the minds of a tourist, instantly, if instantaneously when they say, oh my God, where are we going? Oh my God, where do you have me? You should never have Airbnb.
Right.
So I agree with what you say. But see, all these things that are happening around the community, all these things that are happening here, I think it's very important that we be more educated on how we do these things and how we make these things happen. Charlene, I agree with you. I agree with you in those areas. Now, guys, please be a part of the conversation. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. It says, great show as usual, Howard. Crime is down, but shooting and murders every 2 days, and the government no longer look at us as the conk. They now see us at the conk Bobby boy or booby boy. I tell you, as I guess that murders is no longer considered a crime. Says that was just foolish, jumping in the people's car. Listen, I'm not going to be here to scrutinize. I'm not going to do that. I don't know what happened. I don't know why she did what she did. I don't know if she had a splinter in her foot. I don't know whether or not she lost a shoe and her heel broke. I don't know none of these things. I don't know any of these things. I don't know if this guy was familiar and she was, I don't know. I only can know what we've read, and based upon what we read, the story is peculiar. It's rather strange to be able to see a 17-year-old take this particular stance and position. It's rather strange to see a perpetrator, alleged perpetrator, take you to his home. This is all strange to me. This is peculiar. Like, the classic stories that we hear out of the United States of America as it relates to young kids going to these vans.
And you can turn on the location on your phone, because I'm all sure she things. Had a smart device.
Okay.
And so she could have then said, hey, I'm at this place, I'm unsafe. And the way these teenagers can text double time, I'm just, yeah, you're right. It's a really interesting story.
So it said, Junior and the singer took me out. It says, note, there are evil beasts in this world. We must educate our youths on defensive measures. Just say no and use good judgment. It's a good text. Mm-hmm. It's a good text. Just say no and use good judgment. I think all these things fortify the curriculum. I think the curriculum should reflect the times that we live in. If we're going to get back to education, the curriculum should reflect the times that we live in. The times that we live in, if the prime minister is having conversations about climate change globally and being able to take on this position of what happens and what needs to happen within the Caribbean and what needs to happen in the country, there needs to be a simultaneous effort to incorporate these levels of conversation from a youth perspective. And I'm talking about 10th graders and 11th, 12th graders. I'm talking about in the primary schools to make them carry this information with them throughout the years, right?
And not saying that reading, writing, and arithmetic are not important. They are. They absolutely are fundamental. But like you're saying, we have to also look at current events. How do we make our students and our young people be more aware of the things that are happening both nationally and on a global level? Because when I do find myself wanting to have just regular conversations with young people where I'll say to them something along the lines of, hey, so what did you think of the recent visit of the vice president being here and the conversations about climate change? And I typically, not always, but typically I'll get the conversation with, well, we can't even fix the potholes, but we talking about climate change. You know, I'll deal with Ms. J, I think we are right there. We need to talk about this and this and this. So I think there is some sort of initiative or an interest there to want to be a part of the conversation. And it's interesting because this government is saying that they are transparent. Well, we need to also see how, like you said, how can we...
That's a narrative that they put in our... Stop! Let's be decent. Oh, Charlene, you got me jumping in the seat. The narrative... Let me read this, man. You all need to stop. The narrative, because people seek to manipulate history. So this is strategic. The narrative that is forged, Clint Watson has served with distinction in the role of press secretary, building a robust press architecture for the ground up. He played a critical role in the building of the first ever full-time press office in the office of the prime minister, a pioneering move that has sustainably I'm sorry, that's to substantially improve the government's communication with the public. His many initiatives has transformed the way that the government communicate with the media and the public, helping to make his administration the most transparent in Bahamian history. That's absolutely bananas. That is absolutely bananas. An administration that hasn't seen half term just yet. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely bananas. That they craft a concept, idea to sear into the brains of the Bahamian people through written word and articulations out of the office of the Prime Minister to say that this administration pioneered the way and has been the most transparent. And I don't agree with it. I just don't. I don't. Because even though, watch me.
I think it's the generalities that are being taken here that's problematic, right? We're saying the most transparent.
That's what he says.
In Bahamian history.
That's what
he
says.
You have to be careful when they take
You got on, to take into the whole history.
Yes, yes.
You got to assess the entire thing. We're not talking about the past 7 years.
7 years or
We're not talking
years.
About the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. You say Bahamian history. I could go to you in 1992, the introduction, watch me, the introduction of the Free National Movement in 1992 was government in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. This was the forerunner of what even got Ingram in the position, and he's retained this position of trust, is as a result of his transparency. And if that is the case, him opening up the radio stations for us to have this conversation should be a check in that box to say that he has led this. This is bonkers. See, people seek to manipulate tomorrow.
I think it would have been better if he felt like, okay, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants that have already pioneered the way forward. And from that, I'm able to then continue on the
legacy. They rejected Ace Newbold. If you talk to Clint Watson will tell you, Howard, I have been in significant conversations and relentlessly talking with Ace Newbold and this concept and idea that he started for the office of the Prime Minister. I'm only executing it accordingly. This didn't say any of that. This didn't say any of that. See, it's wrapped in politics. And as a result of this cocoon of politics, it could never butterfly into anything significant socially. When it actually exfoliates socially, you know what it is? A skeleton. This is scary and horrific to believe that you tried to create this narrative that doesn't actually lend to growth socially. So if there is to be honesty, you could never say that you were the most transparent. You can't. You ain't even finished yet. And if the most transparent, how can there simultaneously be a conversation about you being able to commandeer the leading voices of media in our society? How? How can you be the most transparent and simultaneously siphon the voices independently and absorb them into your fold so there can not be a narrative that goes contrary to what you're putting out there? Can we say that in the space of decency and order? Let's do so. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take this quick commercial break and be right back. The numbers that you can dial, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation.
Almost there.
Zach, that's you.
Well, who else?
Tell the truth. I thought a beige walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I'm preparing for my 4x100-meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny. The Bahamas game's coming July 7th to July 15th, and Grandbahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
To the world, he is your dad, but to you, he is the world. Shower your dad with love with a gift from Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale Friday, June 9th through Saturday, June 17th. Save 20% off selected tool sets, luggage, and fishing, diving, and camping gear except on net items. Shop at Kelly's House and Home on Saturday, June 8th, and if you are standing on the lucky spot, you could win a gift basket for Dad. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Shop Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale, June 9th through 17th. Happy Father's Day from Kelly's House and Home.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
We are going back to Cali, BK style, with the California King Collection, only available at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy your choice of plant-based, crispy chicken, or fire-grilled beef, topped with melted white cheddar cheese, bacon, freshly sliced red onion, ripe tomato, crisp lettuce, and BK's creamy guacamole, all served on a toasted brioche bun. The California King Collection packs a tidal wave of flavors and is made with only quality ingredients that are refreshing and filling with every bite. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
With over 25 years in business, nothing says commitment to our people, culture, and service like Rev. And this year is no different. We will continue to elevate your home experience for you to create and share memories for years to come, while keeping you connected to the people and things you love most. Our pledge to provide quality service each year remains true. Rev is made for you.
Shopping is so rewarding with My Fidelity. I get the best prices with price protection. Earn and redeem freedom points at my favorite stores. Get cash back. Plus, I booked a cruise. Get your Fidelity credit card today. Call 356-7764.
And we are back, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, joined today by Sean and Miss J in here in the studio with me, just being able to chomp down a few things that I'm just leading with what we see in the papers. At the top of the hour, we started to talk about Clint Watson and his move to Zedness and whether or not the machine that is Zedness would absorb him accordingly, or whether or not there can be able to be transformation. We had a person who I believe should be on Clint Watson's personal PR team call in. If you are not on Clint Watson's personal PR team, please give Clint Watson a call. If he does not accept your resume, give me a call. And I'm, but you got to speak well about me, right? Speak well, just like I speak good, decent things about about Clint. Speaking about me, right? So we talked about Clint Watson. We talked about this concept and idea that crime is down, but rapes are up, right? I don't know whether or not rapes are, you could differentiate this as a crime or not, but rapes are up in the country. And I just wanted to know the origin of where that is, this sort of an insatiable desire. Why? Yesterday, I had an opportunity to be able to go to this sort of a baccalaureate service for my son. He is graduating from Jordan Prince Will. And so they did a baccalaureate service yesterday. And in the service, you know, it wasn't the entire class there. But in the service, my son comes back and says, "Daddy, you know, I asked a few of my friends when the last time you've been to church." He said, "But I haven't been to church in about 5 years, 7 years." And I said, "What?" Mm-hmm. Now, he and I had to talk about this, me and son talk about it. And in talking about it, I can't say that every parent has a responsibility of being able to put faith in their children and so forth and so on. I can't do that. Because I don't know what's going on in your house. But I said, to my son. I said, you know, life is strange, peculiar in a way. And the way that things work is that people reject the idea of the God that was introduced to them by their parents based upon the fact that their parents didn't expound on what this means. There was an idea. This means him talking. There was an idea that this God, the supreme God, supposed to ensure that everything is good. And once I commit myself to you, that you ain't supposed to let nothing happen to me. How you can let mommy dead? How you can let daddy dead? How you can let this happen to me? How you can let me get raped? How you can let... Because things happen. This is life. But a lack of exposure, understanding, reading, and studying would cause you to kind of chalk this up as of, this got to be a bad God. And maybe it didn't not necessarily be you. Maybe something happened to their parents. Maybe something happened to their grandparents that caused them to break this relationship and being able to seek this out. My point. When developing children, we have the responsibility of not only being able to issue and expose them to an environment that educates them and develops their mind, but we as human beings are threefold, mind, body, and spirit. And if we don't have the sort of exposure and understanding to be able to develop all three, then there's an imbalance that happens here. And as a result of the imbalance that we see that's happening in our lives, whether it's pronounced or not, because no one could know that you don't go to church, we only see you between Monday and Friday, for the most part. So we don't know what you do on the weekend. But if there's an imbalance that exists in these particular space, as a result of that, we see some of these things popping out in our society. And our society, and that's what the show is all about, the foundation.
Yeah.
The foundation is all about whether or not we have leaned away, pared away from the traditional pillars that kept us. How is it that Grammy Dem could have had 9 children in the bush? And I only could call it the bush because they showed me this outhouse. How is it that they could have had these children in the bush? How is it that so many of Grammy's immediate children found significant success and was able to go off? You can hear these people. Well, I've gone off to college. I've gone off to university and come back speaking worse than they gone. You ask them to write something, you look at the page they write, you say, my God, you've been to college? But they've gone off to college and they've come back. And you look at these things and you try to figure out, well, what happened? Why didn't you carry on the tradition of being able to ensure that your children went to college? Why didn't you empower your children with this very clear understanding that education could be that kind of buoyancy to lead you out of deprivation, that leads you out of poverty? Why haven't you done that? Why have you put yourself in this position that it's all for me, baby, and forget about my kids? Why? We have not carried that on. Why is it that an older generation could have a conversation with us about the fact that I went to the government high and all the rest is just government school? They don't even say government anymore. It's just government. They even mispronounce the thing. Talk to me. And so it just have to be clarity across the board. It just have to be clarity across the board and the responsibility that we have in nurturing, in shaping, in molding society for tomorrow. Education must be a part of it. And if we don't have a conscious government who understands its responsibility to be able to shift the course, this prime minister is dealing big with climate change, but it means absolutely nothing. It amounts to a hill of beans if it's not in the hearts and minds of the Bahamian next generation. Let me take a telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller, you on the line with us live. No? Next caller. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's up?
I don't remember the name of the guest who was in there with you, but good afternoon.
Miss J. Miss J, yeah.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
You said Miss James?
Yeah, Miss J.
Oh, Miss J. Good afternoon, yeah. Miss J.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to the nation. I call for one particular reason. You mentioned something before you went to the break, and I something that's recycled over and over, not only on the Guardian station, but on other media stations, talk shows. And I'd like to address it. You said, Howard, that this particular government, the Davis-led administration, has or speaks about accountability and transparency. But in the very same tongue or in the very same breath or at the same time, it is siphoning off the very figures that are responsible for adhering or keeping or overseeing that transparency and accountability or something of the sort, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, just for clarity, the perception of absorption for the agenda at hand to ensure that you could be able to move and retain a position to the next general election, yeah.
Okay, thank you for that clarity. And so I want to bring something, the same point, but from a different perspective for you and everyone to consider, inclusive of those on the other stations. If I take your position, then it also tells me on the flip side that apparently the voices or the characters or the personalities or the professionals who have been known in the country for branding media as responsible and accountable and holding the political directorate to the same may also be for sale based upon your statement, because you would have had many personalities from The Guardian inclusive being your senior editor who would have left and went into government. And so what does that say about an individual who is known to seek to hold the government to accountability, to transparency, but when the price tag goes up for an opportunity, they hop on board, and as you put it, they join the government that apparently is buying off those individuals. What does that say for the individuals in the crop?
Anton, let's be honest here and transparent in the conversation.
The
country that exists here, the 400,000 of us, right, creeping up to 400,000 of us, there are opportunities that exist within certain voids, right? Proximity has allowed a great deal of persons to be in position. Proximity, just proximity to politics, most importantly. And as a result of proximity to politics, a lot of persons make a determination they have to be able to choose. You live here, you know how much of a milk jess as I do. And you know that if an opportunity presents itself, whether or not you have to yield your convictions or if you could retain your convictions and still hold on to the opportunity, that's a conversation that you have with your wife or your significant other.
Mm,
and you move towards those particular things. Now,
okay, can I finish my point?
You asked, I just want to kind of finish it out. So okay. in saying that, I didn't say anyone, these things are up for sale. I'm saying that this administration is actively, excuse me, I'm not saying that the opportunities were presented in the newspaper and someone presented that and then you say, oh, well, this is the best choice. This administration is actively pursuing media voices, actively. And as a result of that, there are persons who are taking an opportunity because every single one of us in this country have dreams, hopes, and aspiration to put braces in our children's mouth, to send them off to school so they can be able to have a brighter future.
Can I finish my point?
Go ahead.
Thank you. And so, Howard, to end, you can't have it both ways, my brother. You can't on one end try to whip the government for providing opportunities to upgrade its level of communication, to upgrade its perception in the country.
But is that what this is?
And to come across as more accountable and more transparent, and at the same time, try to give excuse to those who take those opportunities. It can't be both ways, Howard.
No.
You have to make up your mind what part of the mambao you're standing on and stick with it, my brother. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless.
Well, let's just be very clear about this. I don't think that I don't speak with two tongues.
I think his level of perception is his own. And so there is no way you would
it's
be
filtered
able
through
to,
politics.
Yes, yes, yes. Because it would be better if he came in and asked questions of you and say, Howard, is this what you were saying? Are you saying that, we should hold the government accountable, but at the same time, if an opportunity presents itself, we shouldn't take it? I think when you really want to understand and not just shoot your own thoughts and ideas of what you think is being said, then that's a whole different
people
thing.
People just call me and say,
because he's saying, Howard, this is what you're saying. And you're like, no, brother, this is what I said. I'm trying to explain it. But he already had a thought in his mind. He already had that agenda, and there was no way you were going to change
that. Listen, anyone who's worked for Zedness. They know the political machine that exists thereof. Those persons over the past decade, many of them, I can't say all, I can say many of them, because remember, I was in the belly of the machine. And as a result of the being in the belly of the machine, people just bring you information. Just like how I'm sitting here, people are texting me information, telling me all kinds of things that I don't need to know about. I just don't want to know your business. But now that I got it, I got to figure out how to use it accordingly. Okay. Within the organization, there are significantly talented persons who've been across. If you read Andrew Burrow's information, he would have said, congratulations to Tyler Perry for being able to acquire both BET and VH1. Right? This is Andrew Burrow's, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, has anyone else ever worked for VH1 and BET together? Is it only me? This is what Andrew Burrow said. My point is that there is significant talent within the organization. People who have gone far and wide. Mm-hmm. The former general manager of the organization, Zedness, has been one of the persons who's working with NBC. I think it was NBC. At the time. And as a result of what they saw, she came back. This is the stories that they tell me. Anyway, my point to you is that let's not negate the fact that talent plays an important role here. And governments identify your talents and absorb you accordingly. But you don't have the liberty and the autonomy to be able to execute the talents that exist within you. The only thing that affords you an opportunity to elevate in these organizations is your political proximity. I can't even get no amen.
You better get an amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Your political proximity gives you an opportunity and a slingshot to the top. No matter your talent, your exposure, what you've done, what you didn't do, and so forth and so on. They would craft a narrative around putting you in a position as opposed to the talent that propelled you to the top. I can't even get no amen. So when you call here, every one of us in this country have aspirations, man. And $35,000 a year ain't gonna do nothing for nobody. Somebody talk to me. $28,000 a year ain't gonna do enough for nobody. I can't send my four children to government, to private school, put braces in their mouth, make sure that they're okay, and feed them. They got to take cream and water straight through. I can't even buy milk. So decisions have to be made. And who am I to fight anyone for their decision? I'm only grateful for the opportunities that the Father affords me. Let's just be very clear about that. Let me take a next telephone call before we go to here. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, pleasure. Good afternoon, Brother Howard.
Good afternoon, my brother. What's happening?
Listen, I'll give you amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And good afternoon to your guests as well.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
You know, Howard, this government said it's a new day. What is new about this new day government? It's a new day, but it's the same caca. The same thing. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed at all. Howard, let me ask you something. Do you believe that you are the brightest and the best?
No.
Who makes that determination as to who is the brightest and the best?
I tell you just what Hubert Ingham tell people. You don't make your own decision to do these things, you know. People just tell you. Okay, talk to me. That's what Hubert Ingham's former prime minister.
When this government came into power, I remember listening to the deputy prime minister as he spoke at the opening of the... when they were being installed and whatnot. And he said that we will govern for all Bahamians. We will be gracious in our deceit, and we will seek to be different. Now, I don't know Mr. Andrew Burrows, right? I don't know him personally. I've seen him on television. But this man, as I remember seeing a couple of months ago, that he was selected as manager or boss of the year or something like that, mm-hmm, by his peers in the industry or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, for being there for such a short period and for such an accomplishment, it's in the eyes of the public, somebody like me, it means that he must have been doing something great to get that kind of a accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And for Mr. LaRota to say that the board, it was a decision by the board, a board that is appointed by the government.
A board that have an executive chairman,
you know,
who is a former member of parliament.
When are we going to start running this country like a real country? You know, I mean, I know we say
he's a decent man.
Man, listen here. If we don't change...
I got 2 seconds before I get out of here. I appreciate your call, my brother.
You
did good. You contribute. I can let this next person get 30 seconds. Call you on the line. You got 30 seconds. Forgive me, but we got to get out of here. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Alan. Good afternoon to you again.
Good afternoon, my brother. What's up?
Man, all they're doing is putting it in a position, because all governments is controlled ZNS, and ZNS would be a propaganda machine for them. All they're doing is putting it in a position coming up to the next election so they could eat up all the TV time and the radio time and everything like that. Anton talking foolishness. But all they got to say is they got 3 years and about 3 more months to be doing this foolishness. And to the caller before me, you're guessing. With this new dating, I'm your guessing. I never vote for them.
Who you
I think
vote
I
for?
Could be vindicated again.
Who you vote for? COIA. Who you vote for?
The fifth election, I could be vindicated. Now, Howard, I always hear you talking about 8 Mile Rock. You know all the Kool-Aid them and Anthony Vega them and Monks them. And
this Pinedale people. Pinedale. Yes, sir.
Oh, you little further from them, eh?
No. Right. I'm saying to you, that's where they live.
Huh?
That's where they live. They from Pinedale.
Oh, they from Pinedale. Yes, they Vegas. They my boys, Red Light them and all them and then Marcus them and everyone.
Yes.
Yeah, I talked to Gart yesterday, man. He told me he wouldn't be in town in time. So as soon as he gets in town, get him on the show, man.
Absolutely.
So start talking some more sense.
Thank you, my brother.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, my brother. Charlene, I want to thank you so much for being able to join me. I want you to wrap up with some things because you got to come back now.
I will be back.
You can be back?
As long as you invite me.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Yeah.
Say your closing remarks for the Bahamian people.
Well, here are my closing remarks. It's that... this is such a beautiful country. In fact, I've had a foreigner say to me one time, he's like, as soon as we can figure out that we are sitting on a gold mine, the sooner this country could become such an incredible country for all, every single person that lives here, even if milk does go up $35 a gallon, we will be
I'll buy
okay.
a cow.
Yes, you'll buy an entire farm. So the bottom line is this. I'm going to speak mainly from the part that I feel the most strength, and that is education. We have got to pivot. Mm-hmm. We've got to be honest with ourselves and look at what is not working. If it is not working, let's quit trying to just... plaster it up or put some wallpaper over it or pretty it up in some way. It doesn't work. Throw it in the bin. Get rid of it. Move away from it. There's no way you would have a car that has no engine or no car battery or whatever, and you'd be like, yeah, man, it's still good. We could still work with it. You'd be like, it's useless. I can't work with it. I need to find something that actually functions. And so that is where we are in terms of education in this country, in terms of curriculum revamp. It is an entire system that needs to be redone. And as soon as we can have those honest conversations with people that do have the talent, that have done the research and done their due diligence, the sooner we can start to formulate ideas and people in place to see changes. Because if not, we're going to continue to be this hamster on the wheel and go over and over again and be back at the same place by the year it's 2090.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlene Miss Day, she's going to be here with me. I'm going to have to call her back. I love these kind of conversations that give us this raw, vulnerable position that really talks about growth and development from the perspective of those persons who are on the ground level and seek to be able to move forward and make some things happen. I want to thank all of you for being able to contribute. Tomorrow is Small Business Thursday. If you want to be a part of that, 827-0111, 827-0111. I thank you for your contributions. Thank you for being able to be a part of that. I want to see you here tomorrow, live and in full effect, from 12 to 2, right here, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. We're going to see you tomorrow. Have a beautiful day. I want you guys to stick and stay for Zhivago Lang with Z Live right after this.
Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Hard Grant is brought to you by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Kelly's Home Center, Marco's Pizza, Rev Bahamas, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Foundation. The Foundation.